The epistle for the second Sunday after Epiphany is taken from that of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, we have gifts differing according to the grace that has been given us, such as prophecy to be used according to the proportion of faith, or ministry in ministering, or he who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhorting, he who gives in simplicity, he who presides in carefulness, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without pretense. Hate what is evil, hold to what is good. Love one another with fraternal charity, anticipating one another with honor. Be not slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope. Be patient in tribulation, persevering in prayer. Share the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of one mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but condescend to the lowly. And the gospel is taken from that according to St. John. At that time, a marriage took place in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now Jesus, too, was invited to the marriage, and also his disciples. And the wine having run short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "What wouldst thou have me do, woman? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the attendants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now 6 stone water jars were placed there after the Jewish manner of purification, each holding 2 or 3 measures. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them to the brim. And Jesus said to them, "Draw out now and take to the chief steward," and they took it to him. And when the chief steward had tasted the water after it had become wine, not knowing whence it was, though the attendants who had drawn the water knew, the chief steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man at first sets forth the good wine, and when they have drunk freely, then that which is poorer. But thou hast kept the good wine until now." This first of his signs Jesus worked at Cana of Galilee, and he manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. His mother said to the waiters, "Whatever he shall say to you, do ye." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There are many themes from today's gospel which would be worth considering. For instance, we could think about the dignity of marriage and how it's blessed and raised by Christ coming in attendance of this ceremony in honor of the two newlyweds. We could consider also how God blesses those who invite him into their lives. We could consider how, because the newlywed couple invited Christ and his family, some people say that Mary was invited, but that Christ kind of came along and brought his disciples with him, and so they were not necessarily accounted for in the preparation. And it was on account of this that they ran short of wine. And whether this is the case or not, if it was, we could consider how the guests welcomed them, knowing that they were going to run short on supplies. But nevertheless, they did this. They were willing to make the sacrifice out of love for Christ and for his disciples. And in response for this, Christ blesses them. He gives them this miracle and shows, in a way, that he will not be outdone in generosity. So this is another consideration we could make, the dignity of marriage, or how God blesses us when we are welcoming to him. We welcome him into our lives. Or also we could consider how this miracle really is a symbol of why Christ came. Why he came to this earth. He came in order to change the hearts of lukewarm people into zealous hearts, seeking our salvation. Just as he changed the water into wine, he comes to change our hearts and to make us zealous for the church, zealous for God. But of all of these truths which we find worth considering in this gospel today, I'd like to turn our attention to the powerful truth which is revealed about the Blessed Virgin Mary. With her concern for her hosts on that day in Cana, and with her desire that they be spared any humiliation or any disgrace or embarrassment which would come with the situation, the Blessed Mother shows, first of all, her tenderness towards those whom she loves, and then also her intercessory power for us. So we read in the Gospel how this is a wedding feast at Cana, and how Mary was invited, and Christ came along as well with his disciples. And it seems as if Mary was a friend or possibly a relative of those who were married, the spouses. Now, the marriage feast would last an entire week. It was drawn out to a full entire week long. And when a family was poor, often the guests would bring wine of their own to help to bolster the supplies. It was said then, where there is no wine, there is no joy. So obviously, wine was an important thing to have at a celebration like this, a very important thing. Now, the coming of Christ and his disciples, as I said, may have, well, certainly it did, cause the wine to run out sooner than otherwise it would have. And so the Blessed Virgin comes to her son, comes to Christ and says, they have no wine. And here our Lord answers in a way which can create a difficulty for us. That can bring two questions to our minds. First of all, the tone of his answer seems in a way to be flippant or maybe even a little bit disrespectful to his mother. And then also, he seems as if he is rejecting her request, that request which is implied in her statement that they have no wine. He says to her, woman, what is it to me or to thee? Now, the title woman, in reality, was an honorable one. It was one meaning madame or virgin. And this same name will be repeated by Christ on the cross. Repeated by Christ when he says to St. John, or when he says to the Blessed Virgin Mary, woman, behold thy son. And so this title of woman is in no way a disrespect. In fact, it is a title of honor to be given to the Blessed Virgin Mary by Christ. But then also, the other problem, and it sounds as if Christ is dismissing the request of his mother. It sounds as if he's saying, not this time, not yet. But rather, he seems to be saying that his work is not the work done on account of his mother, not on account of his natural mother, but on account of his divinity, on account of the divine nature which comes from his Father. That is the cause of the miracle which he's about to perform. And so this miracle isn't based upon the human initiative of the Blessed Virgin Mary, but on the impulse of the grace of God, God's divinity. Mary understands that Christ's response to her isn't a refusal. And we can see this clearly by her response. Because immediately she turns to the waiters and she tells them confidently, do whatever he shall say to you. So she turns to them with complete confidence and tells them to listen to her son. And it's interesting for us just to consider that this is the last line that we hear from the Blessed Virgin Mary in the Gospels. Do whatever he shall say to you. This is her exit line. This is the last we hear from the Blessed Virgin Mary in public revelation right here. And so then Christ commands them to fill the 6 water jugs. And they are filled into what would be approximately, we'll say, 150 gallons of water. It's interesting for us just also to note that this miracle took place after all of the wine was completely gone. It wasn't as if there was a little bit of wine left, and so they mixed water with it to make a diluted wine. No, it was completely gone. So there can be no confusion as to whether this was a miracle or maybe it was just that they mixed water with wine and made it appear as if there was more, when in fact there wasn't any more wine. It was completely gone, and so they went from no wine to having these 6 stone jars completely full of wine. Now, while somewhat of a subplot to this gospel story, Mary's motherly thoughtfulness and her intercessory power are clearly and powerfully displayed by this miracle of Christ, by his first public miracle. We can see also how her power as an intercessor is in relationship to Christ. This power to intercede doesn't come from her nature as God's power comes from his nature. Her power lies in the fact that God does not refuse her any request because she is his mother. We all have saints who we ask for assistance from, that we ask for their intercession of. Saint Joseph, maybe Saint Anthony is another very popular one. Many other saints who are always supplicated when we are in need. And they never let us down. But these saints, as powerful as they are only servants of God. They're only the servants of God. But the Blessed Virgin Mary, although she is human, is not just a servant of God, but the mother of God. And so if we have confidence when we turn to St. Joseph or St. Anthony, Padre Pio, St. Jude, St. Anne, if we have confidence when we turn to them, how much more confidence should we have when we turn to the Blessed Virgin, the Mother of God? We should have complete trust in her, while not forgetting, though, the last words which she spoke. Do whatever he says to you. And so in order that we be recipients of this great power of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we must follow this line. We must do what Christ commands us to do. We must keep his commandments. For who can expect to be the enemy of Christ and at the same time receive his benefits from his mother? Christ has told us which commandments are the greatest: the love of God above all things, and then the love of neighbor for ourselves. And in today's epistle, St. Paul encourages us to a greater love of our neighbor. And he warns us specifically against simulated love, against pretended love of our neighbor. He says, let love be without pretense. Love be without pretense. So our love for one another should be friendly and it should be neighborly, but it must go beyond outward signs. And it must come from the heart. We see this simulated love in the behavior of the scribes and of the Pharisees very often when they interacted with our Lord in the Gospels. They would act as if they were his friends, but in reality they were listening to him and they were praising him. They were following him only in order to find a way to trap him, only in order to find a way to destroy him. That was their true motive. And so it was a feigned friendship. This love is a hypocritical love. And so they flattered their neighbor in his presence, but they had hatred for him in his heart, in their hearts. Let us strive. Let us strive to have the true charity of others, which St. Paul talks about in the Gospel. Seeing God himself in our neighbor, and let us love our neighbor for God's sake. Such love of neighbor is the love of God, and is a fulfillment of the commandments. It's a fulfillment of those commandments which we are given. By doing this, we will remain friends of God, and we will be keeping ourselves open to the aid of the Blessed Virgin Mary. By following the commandments, we can have absolute confidence in Mary as she had absolute confidence in her Son. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. We also see today a manifestation of Mary's intercessory power. So let us have confidence in her as our mediatrix. St. Bonaventure says, great was the mercy of Mary while in exile here on this earth, but it is much greater now that she is the Queen in heaven, because she now sees the misery of men. Mary in heaven enjoys the vision of God, and therefore she sees our wants far more clearly than when she was here on this earth. Hence, as her pity for us is increased, so also is her desire to assist us all the more ardent. So let us have great confidence that so long as we are fulfilling the commandments, the Blessed Virgin Mary will be that great intercessor for us, as she was for the newlyweds in the Gospel story today. And let us remember, though, the key to this is that final line that we hear from the Blessed Virgin Mary. And if we follow that, then we will have her as a great intercessor to do whatever our Lord asks. God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.